from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. See, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I start, I want to thank some people who have put a tremendous amount of energy into worship. Amber, our organist, pianist, has done 5 services today with her husband, Bob. And Bev Whiteside has been here for all 3, plus coordinating and conducting a concert with choir and instrumentalists and just the most glorious music you've ever seen come out of a church on a Thursday night this week. And the energy that these folks and all of our musicians have put into making the good news proclaimed in song and an instrument has just been humbling, mind-blowing. Not to mention all of our extra ushers and the people who decorate the church, the folks who open the doors before the service and lock up after the service, and lectors and assisting ministers and people who make cookies. This place has the Spirit of God, and it certainly takes a whole church to be a church, and we're grateful. So Christmas gift is the title I gave Julie probably a couple weeks ago for this sermon. Because it's on all of our minds, at least all of the month of December. Perhaps back to Black Friday? Maybe even like my mother-in-law, you ponder these things all the way back until summer. She's always happy when she can get her Christmas shopping done by the 4th of July. She feels like she's conquered something. Because Christmas shopping, Christmas gifts are important for her to give. And she puts a lot of thought into that. When Vince and I were newly married, relatively newly married, and our children were very small, we were both in the parish. And he was at one congregation, I was at another congregation. And our schedule was kind of like Amber and Bob chasing from church to church. And there wasn't much time to get ready for the consumer elements of Christmas. So we're going to come clean. Our son's up in the balcony taping for our daughter. When she was about 5 and he was about 1, she didn't quite know when Christmas Day was. So we told her it was a couple days after Christmas. So that as poor as church mice young pastors were, we could go out and take in after Christmas sales and get our kids the stuff that they wanted. Yeah. We didn't really lie to them about Santa Claus, but we did fudge the day of Christmas. But that's okay. The church has been doing that for centuries. Christmas gifts are important. Certainly in our culture. I wish, well, I don't really wish, but it always makes me wonder if there would ever be a chance of as many fender benders happening in a church parking lot as there is in the Walmart parking lot before Christmas. How's the parking tonight? Do you have enough room? Okay. Yeah, I figured. You know, we worry about giving good gifts, and we want to make people happy. And I think one of the greatest joys of my own life, being a parent, is watching my kids grow up and grow out of that rip the present open as fast as you can element of Christmas to being really thoughtful gift givers themselves. And they wonder, they worry, and they think, will he like this? Will she like this? Is this going to be something that just makes them happy when they open the gift? That's what you do with your loved ones, right? That's what God did for us at Christmas. God gave us Jesus. Now the world said, we don't need that. What's the next gift? But for those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, this is the greatest gift ever. And that God chose a humble beginning, chose to be born of Mary, to be announced first to shepherds. I don't know if we had a lot of shepherds around here, but it wasn't the job that every young kid aspired to do. You know? It was lonely and dusty, and there was no glory in it, that's for sure. So when the angels came and announced first to the shepherds, can you imagine? What's the worst job you've ever had? I've mucked out milk stalls, hauled bales, worked retail at Christmas. I can't imagine being in those settings and having an angel show up, just one at first, that says, don't be afraid. And if you're telling me don't be afraid, it's probably because you look pretty fearsome. But in order to reinforce that news, The angel says, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." Imagine the shepherds' first thoughts. Did something ferment that we didn't know about? We're in the fields. We see an angel. And the angel's pretty fearsome looking and powerful looking. And then the angel says, "God's got a sign for you. It's going to be a baby in a feed trough." You've all watched Hallmark movies that were more believable than that, right? But then to back it up, it says, a multitude. With that one angel came a multitude of the heavenly host. So the sky opens up with angels. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace." Now there's a gift we need. And it all starts with the gift, the baby, the Messiah, Jesus. Jesus. That's the gift God chooses to give the ones that God loves the most. Just let that sit there for a minute. Whatever you've unwrapped or given or returned, the God of all gods, the Lord God Almighty, chose to give you, me, the world, the gift of his Son, Emmanuel, that we might know that God is always with us, that God is always good on God's promises, that God will never abandon us. As you go from this place this Christmas Eve, carry this gift with you. Share this gift in acts of mercy and love and forgiveness. And the God of all peace dwell with you this night and always. Amen.